Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Vav. We are holding 10 lines off the top of the Amud, back to the Halacha and the Mishnah, where we learned that Lifnei Eidehen Shaloi Dekechavim Shaloi Shayamim, so the 3 days immediately prior to the holiday, the Goyish holiday, we refrain from engaging them in commerce and certainly from selling them items, materials that they can use in their offerings to their idols. Now the question is, when we say 3 days, is it three including the actual holiday? So holiday is Tuesday. The 3 days begin from Sunday. You have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, including the holiday. Or is it 3 days in addition to the actual day of the holiday? So if the holiday would be on a Wednesday, it would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday in advance. And of course, keep away on the holiday itself for concern that he might be encouraged to express his satisfaction, his appreciation to his deity on account of being successful in business. He might take the item and offer it to his Avodah Zarah as an offering. Okay, so that's the question. Inclusive or in addition? Iboilu, Shloisha Yomim, the 3 day period, Hein Ve'edehen, is it including the actual holiday? So it's just 2 days prior and then the holiday? Bidilma Hein Veloy Edehen, or is it 3 days in advance, in addition to the actual day of their holiday? Tashma, Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, he says it's not limited to 3 days prior. This limitation covers even 3 days following the holiday. It's still within, you know, close enough to the holiday. He's still in the holiday spirit and the mindset, in which case he would perhaps go back and thank his God. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, Shloisha Lefneim, so 3 days prior, Ushloisha Lacharein, and likewise, 3 days immediately following the holiday. All those days are us. Now, if the 3 day, if the number 3 is including the holiday, so why would Rabbi Shmuel refer to the holiday twice? He says 3 days prior including the holiday, and then he says 3 days following, the first of which includes the holiday too, so you've covered the holiday on both sides. You refer to it twice. Rabbi Shmuel, Yom Eidein, the actual Yom Eidein, the holiday itself, Chashuv L'Miyikara, he considers it as part of the 3 days prior, includes it in that count, and then again, V'Chashuv L'Hulu Basayif, and counts it in again in the second set of 3 days. Why would he do that? Answers the Gemara, well, I did the Tana, Shloshe L'Fneim, yeah, it still can work, because even if we shall say that the number 3 covers the holiday itself too, so since he used the number 3 with reference to advance, Tanunam Shlosh Lachareim, so when he spoke about the days following, instead of switching to a different number, he just repeated the same number, but in fact, technically speaking, it should just be 2 days after the actual holiday. So we thought we can prove our point from here. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel speaks about 3 days before, 3 days after, apparently he's not including the holiday itself. It's 3 days, and then the holiday, and then another 3 days. No. Perhaps it is including. And the number 3, which he cited with respect to after, that one does cover the holiday itself. And it wasn't really repetition, it's just matching language. Toshma, the Amar of Tachlifa Bar Avdim Amar Shmuel. Yom Echad. So we have the Sunday, right? According to some Girsais, it's Yom Noitzri, the day of the Christian. So that holiday, that would prevent us from dealing with Goyim throughout the entire week, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says it's 3 days before and 3 days after. Yom Neitzri, Yom Echad L'Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Kondor Rabbi Shmuel Shita, who stretches the ban to cover days after the holiday itself. Lo'ilam Asr, you can never deal with Goyim. Never. Because you have the Sunday in the middle, and then you have 3 days before, 3 days after, are covered by this ban. There goes the entire week. Lo'ilam Asr. Now, this pretty much proves our point that 3 days is an addition to the holiday. So then you cover the whole week. Because if the 3 days really includes the holiday itself, so you have 2 days throughout the week that you can still deal with them. Because you have the holiday, and then 2 days before and 2 days after only, which is just five out of seven. If the 3 day period is inclusive, and you have Wednesday, Thursday, which are still okay. So Friday Shabbos is 2 days prior to Sunday, and Monday, Tuesday is 2 days following, but you still have Wednesday and Thursday free. So as the Gemara, you're right. I'll leave the Rishmol, according to Rishmol, Shita, Lokim, Boy, there's no question. The Hain, Beloy, Edain, that the 3 day ban is an addition to the holiday, in which case the whole week is covered. Our question was regarding Shitas Rabbanon, the opposing view. Kikam Ebayli Libd Rabbanon, according to them, my, how does it work? Amar Ravina Tashma, let me try to prove this point from a different halacha. Veilu in Heidein. Here follows a list of some of their holidays. Shalev de Kicham, Kalando. Some say this is like calendar, beginning of the year, of the year, like New Year's. Satrunya v'kartasim. Vamar v'chanan barav, you should know, some of these are multiple day holidays. Kalanda is really ches yomim, achar tkufa. So the tkufa is when the season switches into the winter tkufa, tkufas tevis. So it's around January time. So at that point, the goyim established a holiday. Ches yomim, so the first 8 days, achat tkufa, after the tkufa switches. So it's basically the first 8 days of the new season. The holiday called Stratranya, that's 8 days prior to that. Shmoyne yomim lefnei tkufa, 8 days before the tkufa commences. So the kalanda's behind the tkufa, and Satrunya is in front of the tkufa. So you might have to remember what's what. Acher v'kedem taratani, we have a pasuk in Tehillim. Acher comes first, so that's the remes to kalanda, which is after the switch. V'kedem is prior, so that's the next holiday, Satrunya. It's just a remes to recall what's what. So the first one was actually later than the second one, which comes first. In any case, let's go back to the Mishnah. Shloish hayamim, right? 3 days prior to the, right? If the number is inclusive of the actual holiday, the holiday is 8 days long, so it's not just 3 days, it's really 10 days of no commerce. Because, again, if 3 days is inclusive, so it's just two plus the holiday, well, it depends how long the holiday is. If it's a one-day holiday, you're right, so it's a total of three. But if it's an eight-day holiday, you have eight plus two. It's ten. V'isakadaydech hein ve'edein asara habu. If the Mishnah is including it in the number, so then it's really ten, not just three. Why did the Mishnah stick with just three? If it's meant to include the holiday. Apparently, it's an addition to the holiday, so it's a standard number in advance of every holiday, irrespective of how long the holiday is. No, says the Gemara Tana. Yeah, the Tana wasn't going into, describing every single holiday and its duration. He just picked a number, a one-day holiday, and naturally you'll have to extend it further if it's a longer holiday. So, the standard, the minimum is a one-day thing. And that's how you get three, two plus the one-day holiday. Of course, you have to extend it and expand it for a longer holiday. Tana kule kalanda, the entire kalanda, which is technically 8 days, chad yom u'chashiv, he referred to it like a single day. But of course, all he meant to say is two plus the holiday, however long it will be. Amar Rav Ashi Tashma, he comes another attempt at proving this point from our Mishnah. Look at the wording of the Mishnah. We begin lifnei eidein shelo lekicham shloisha yamim. So prior to their eidein, it's going to be 3 days of no business. If the Mishnah means to include the actual holiday in that number, listen, it should say it differently. Eidein shelo lekicham, when you encounter the holidays, you should know shloisha yamim. It's a 3 day ban, including the actual holiday. So the holiday sort of extends itself and expands, spills over onto the 2 days prior as well, if in fact the 3 days includes the holiday. It should say it like that. It should say a day in, the block is 3 days, including the holiday. Perhaps you'll say, the reason why the Mishnah added the word lefnei, not to say that the 3 days are in addition. It was just lemuti la'achar idein. It was just lest you think that it extends to the days following, so that's why it says lefnei, you should know it's only prior. Well, if that's all the Mishnah was trying to say, listen, Adam shalav yicham gimuyam lefneim. It should say when you encounter the Adam, the holiday, it's a 3 day block. Lefneim. But it's only prior to, not following. It should say it like that. Instead of saying lifnei idein, which sounds like we're speaking about the days in advance of the holiday, in addition to the holiday, el shemami, no. Okay, that proves our point. That's a conclusion. Hein, the 3 day period, is belay idein, is without, is in addition to the actual holiday, however long it may stretch. Shemami, no, and that proves our point. It's 3 days, and then comes the holiday. Now, as to the crux of this, concern, of this ban, of this iser. What's the objective? What's our real concern? Iboilu. So Rashi explains that we shouldn't be dealing with them. We shouldn't be facilitating their success in business at that point, right? Or be selling them items that can be used for hakrava, for offerings. So the question is like this: Iboilu, mishum harvocha. Is it a concern that he might be successful, might earn a profit, and might be inclined to thank his God? Right. So if he earns a pretty penny on your deal, right, you buy a truckload of lettuce, he might be excited, make some money, and then go thank his Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, what's wrong with that? Well, why are we at fault? V'avar Yisrael, says Rashi, the Yisrael, by doing so is going to be over. Mishum lo yishama al picha. One may not arrange or cause that the name of Avodah Zarah should be mentioned, should be celebrated through you. That's one concern. Or perhaps, mishum lifnei iver l'sitin michshol. It's not just because we're sort of putting him in a good frame of mind and we're caused. It's a more direct concern. The primary concern is that if you sell him something durable, something that he might use, like a behemoth, to offer his Avodah Zarah, the Yisrael who sold it to him is actually transgressing a very direct Isser called Lifnei Iver, L'Sitein Michshol. You can't place a stumbling block in front of a blind man. And that applies even to a goy. It's a huge chiddush, Rashi says. A goy is not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. So by facilitating his worshipping of his Avodah Zarah, you are abetting, assisting, and aiding in that respect, and you are oiver and lifnei iver. So you shouldn't be selling him material, animals, or whatever that he can be used, that he can use for takrevis Avodah Zarah. And on account of that, Chachamim banned any sort of, you know, this type of commerce. Shouldn't be selling anything, you know, durable, or dealing with him in a way that makes him excited and satisfied, and right? So, what's the main concern? Is the concern because he might go thank his Avodah Zarah? Or is the main concern that he might take the material and sell it and use it for an offering? And on account of that, they banned everything else as well. Says in Malan of Kemina, what would be the difference between, you know, these two concerns? The Islay Behemoth of the Day. Suppose the guy already has a full stock of animals. Now you're selling him another one, right? Yamas mishum harvacha. If the point is that he's going to be pleased and satisfied because of his earnings, because of his profits, how come harvacha? So even here, the same concern exists. If you're giving him that ability to earn and to achieve and to succeed, he's going to run and thank his avodah zarah. Yamas mishum lifnei iver. Listen to mikshal. However, if the concern is primarily don't facilitate his actual worshipping, it's later the day. If he has other animals, right? If he has another one sitting there, you haven't really directly abetted in this takroivus avodah zarah because he already has another animal, which he could have used for the avodah zarah. Ask somewhere, really? If he has another animal available, it's not considered lifnei iver by adding another animal and giving him more opportunity to. If he has another animal, so by giving him another one, which he perhaps might use now because it's a nicer one, it's a better one, there's no lifnei iver. But Tani, we have a brisa which seems to indicate otherwise. Omar benosin. How do we know that one should not pass over a glass of wine to a nazir who may not drink wine for concern that he might take it and drink it? Or a limb torn off a live animal to a guy who's prohibited, who's usher in Ever Menachai. You shouldn't pass it. Tamaloymer, v'lifnei iver, l'sitei miksha. Asks the Gemara of Ahacha, look, in these cases, it's right here. Sure, you're encouraging him, you're giving him a helping hand, but he can just turn around and pick it up himself. Dechilo yavin, even if you don't pass it to the person, shakla you, he can pick it up on his own, and still the brisa faults the person for passing it to him, and considers him lifnei iver, v'ka'avar mishim lifnei iver, l'sitei mishul. Apparently, even if he has his own resources, if he has access on his own, you're still helping him, and that's lifnei iver. My skin is Gemara, no, incorrect. We're speaking that he couldn't reach for that wine. He couldn't access it. The koi betray iver nahara. They're on two sides of the river, so to speak. So the guy is on the other side. The Jew is here, and he's passing him the iver nahai, which he couldn't access on his own. Then it is considered lifnei iver. But if it's right here and you're just, you know, being nice to him and picking it up for him, that's not lifnei iver. It shouldn't be done, but it's not lifnei iver. It's not an iser teira. The economy, I'll even prove it to you. Look at the lashon of the brisa. Tani, it says, lo yoshe, don't pass it over to him. Apparently he's not able to access it on his own. Look, Tani, lo yitin, rather than telling you not to give it to him locally, that would not be lifnei iver. Shmami, no. That proves our point. Iboilu. So you shouldn't be dealing with them, you shouldn't be buying and selling. What if one does engage them in commerce? Nosa v'nosan mai. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Chachamim banned it absolutely in a way that even b'di'evet, even after the fact, you cannot benefit from, you know, the money, whatever that you earned off the deal. Nosa v'nosan asa. Rish Lakish Amar, look, after the fact, it's okay. Nosa v'nosan mutar. You're not allowed to do it, but Chachamim did not apply a permanent, iser on the items, materials used during this purchase. Eisve, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Here comes a kashan Rish Lakish who says, b'di'evet it's mutar. The brisa says, eidein shleiv dekichavim, right? Nosav and nosav asurin. Sounds like it's a permanent ban, even b'di'evet. My lav lifnei eidein. Apparently we're speaking on those days prior to the holiday when there's an iser. Lo eidein dafka. The brisa says, specifically speaking about on the holiday itself, that's more severe, it's more chomer, it's more direct, that's a time of celebration, a time of worship. Then we say, even b'di'evet, you can't have a na'ah from the merchandise from the schera. However, if it's just during the advance period, although it shouldn't be done, perhaps b'di'evet is mutter. You could have another version of this back and forth. Eisvei Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, who's the one who asked Rabbi Yechanan to prove his point from this very same price, Eidein Shleib Gichavim, Nosa V'Nosan Asr. So the Eidein on the holiday, if he dealt with the Goyetz Asr, Eidein in, apparently only on the holiday itself, which is more severe, but only Lifnei Eidein, if it's just before, Lo, you wouldn't have the same severity, so it's a raya to me, says Rish Lakish, that b'riyeh, but it's mutter. And says the Gemara, not necessarily. Tana, idi v'idi edein karele, perhaps the braisa refers to the day of and the days prior, with the same title, edein, and of course, would be usher even on the days prior. However, we have a braisa, tana kama seyed Rish Lakish, that b'riyeh, but it's mutter, kusha amru usher, losses, losses in mind. So when we speak about refraining from transaction, it's not applicable in all cases. Only something which would bring about this pitfall of you know, like we said before, putting him in a positive state of mind, which would encourage him to thank his idol or selling him stuff that might, right? So kusha amru osra losses losin isimoyim, when we speak about refraining from business, lo osra al b'davar miskayim. It only pertains to durable goods. We'll see in a minute how this works. But if it's something which is perishable, that's not a concern. Even something which is durable and lasting. After the fact, if it's done, it's the item, the money is mutter. Explains the Gemara. What's the difference between durable and perishable? Tani Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid comes and explains, based on a brisa which was taught in the Beis Medrash, B'David Rabbi Riyoshia, as follows. Davar she'ein maskayim moichron lahem avetlein loikhen mehem. So when the Braisa says don't do something which is durable but something which is perishable, it's okay, we're speaking about selling to them. So if you're dealing with a guy and offering him merchandise for sale, you shouldn't be selling him something which is durable, something which is lasting, Rashi says, because he's going to have it around during his holiday. It's going to make him proud and satisfied, right? That's a concern. But to sell him something which is einim miskayim, something which is perishable, a bag of lettuce, not going to have it around. It's for immediate consumption. So there's no concern of selling him that those goods. But in the reverse, in terms of buying from them, ain't like him, man. Then it switches around. The guy is selling you something perishable, so buying it from him gives him relief, gives him satisfaction. He's looking to unload that item. So here is a concern because you're giving him hano, you're giving him profit, and it might bring him to thank his, right? Whereas buying something which is durable, an item which is durable and lasting, just the opposite. There, if anything, he doesn't want to get rid of that thing. He'd rather hold on to it. So, you know, so basically it works both ways. You have to basically judge, determine each, you know, transaction in terms of what it does and the effect that it brings. There's a story about Hahumi Na'a, a non-believer, a heretic, a guy, the Shadarle Dinra Kisra Na'a. Rabbi Nasiya. So he sent the tzaddik Rabbi Nasiya. He was not Rabbi Nasi, by the way. I think he was a grandchild. He was an Amora. So this fellow sent him a brand new, newly minted konu currency, new coin. Dinru Kisrana. And it was on the holiday itself. Yom Eidah. What do I do with this coin? By accepting it from him, I'm going to give him Hano. Look, this great rabbi accepted my gift. So how do we play this? We can't accept it. We can't reject it. And cause animosity, machlekes, it's also a concern. Havayasiv Rish Lakish Kamei. Who's sitting there? Rish Lakish. And Rabbi Nasiya, when he got this gift, turned to Rish Lakish for advice. Amar, he says, Hechi Avi, what should I do? Ashkelei, should I keep it? Should I accept the gift? Azulamoid? It's going to satisfy the guy, and he's going to go be thankful to his, right? Should I reject it? I'm going to cause animosity, which is a big concern relating to Goyim. I'm with Rish Lakish. I have the perfect solution. Toil, accept the gift, but then toss it away. So you have no benefit. So he sees that you really didn't enjoy it. So he's going to be distressed about the fact that you didn't really enjoy it. Toss it into the pit in front of him. Amar, so reason to see it says just the opposite. If anything, that makes it worse. Kloshkin to have a le'eva. It's going to cause a high degree of animosity that I tossed away his gift in front of him. No, kalachayad hudukha amina. I meant sort of backhanded. accidentally on purpose, slip it into the pit and lose it. So on the one hand, you didn't insult him, you accepted it. On the other hand, he sees, look, the coin went missing by accident. So he walks away sort of without any feeling of hana'ah from this episode. Lash ilon v'lishol mehen. Mishnah says, just like you don't buy and sell, you don't lend them items, nor do you borrow from them. Now, I understand why not to lend, because you're giving him something that satisfies him. That. But what about borrowing his drill? What's wrong with that? Mishle melash ilon. Yeah, it's a problem. Kamar b'chu. He feels good and he goes and he's thankful. Avalishol mehen. What's wrong with borrowing an item from them? Utikum amatl. If anything, you're taking something away that's not very satisfying to him. Amar Abaye, it's a concern. If you allow this, you're going to allow the other thing as well. Gzera lishol, you shouldn't borrow mehen otu, because it can lead lashilon to loan them as well. So it's a gzera. Rabba Amar, he says no. Borrowing also provides them with a sense of satisfaction. Look, the Jew needed my services. He needed my tools. It makes him feel proud and good about himself. Kulo mishum da'azlo maidu, all these borrowing and loaning, it's all the same concern that he might go and be moided to his avodah zarah. The same exact back and forth we have with the next halacha in the Mishnah, l'halvoy sum, v'lulis mehen, you shouldn't lend them money, nor should you borrow from them. Again, the same question. Bishleim l'halvoy sum, I understand why not to lend them, because you're making him happy. Mishum dekam marvachu, you're giving him that opportunity to be thankful and to be ela luvois mehen. What's wrong with borrowing from him? Amar Abaye Amar, Amay Amar Abaye gzera luvois mehen atul halvoisem, because if you borrow, he might lend. Rava Amar kulu mishum dazla moiduhu, because when you borrow, he feels proud, he feels haughty, and he's tempted to go thank his avodah zarah. Lefroya lefoir on lefroya mehen. The same point again. You should not be remitting your debt to him, nor allowing the guy to pay off his debt to you. Same question. Bishlam lefoir on. I understand why you're not going to pay him back. Mishum de kamar b'chol, because you're providing him with that money, which will satisfy him. El lefroya mehen, but to collect your debt from him, what's wrong with that? Mutu mimato. If anything, you're diminishing his wealth. So you're Amar Abaye gzera is a concern, one on account of the other. Lefrei mehen, atu, lepoiron, if you're allowed to take, you might repay to the guy. Rava Amar, kula, both are the same concern. Mishum de azla moiduhu, you might encourage him to go thank his avodah zarah. Look, the Jew needed my services, he needed my money. It puts him in a positive frame of mind. Utsrichi, now why did the Mishnah have to cover all these various variations of pretty much the same concern? One is commerce, loaning items, lending money, paying off debts. Each one has its own unique lesson. The Itana, losses imoyen. If we only discuss business, mishum dekamar b'lecho, because of the prophet, he might go thank his avodah zarah. Vazlo moed, avalishol mehen, but to borrow from them, the mutik of maitl, if anything, you're taking something away from him, shaper damit, perhaps that's okay. No, says the Mishnah, that's also not okay for the reasons we mentioned. V'itana lishol mehen. Okay, if the Mishnah would only discuss borrowing his tools, mishum dechashiv alei, oh, milsa, because it makes him feel important. Va'oz lomoida, he'll go and thank. Avalulmois mehen, but to borrow money from him. Ah, tzara ba'almois, he's just distressed about it. Omar, he's thinking, I'll never see that money again. Suv lihadri zuzu, who says I'll see that money again? So he's not going to be feel too satisfied about that. No, says the Mishnah, that too is a concern. V'itan alulvois man, if the Mishnah would only discuss this now, Mishnah Mdukamar, he would think because the guy is saying to himself, I'm going to get that money back. Mishnah Mdukamar bal karche, mifrana. Sure, I'm going to force the Jew to repay me. V'ashtami azlomaitis. Now he feels proud and satisfied, and he goes and he thanks. Avali para mehen, but in the next case, where you're accepting a loan repayment from the guy, he's never seen that money again. Perhaps Emet Sarius, all he has is distress from that. Uleoz Lomoida is not going to go and thank Tricha. No, the answer is that's also a concern, because although it costs some money now, but ultimately, in the long run, very soon after, the negative emotions will dissipate, and he'll be left with a feeling of relief, of being freed from his debt. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Da'imer Nefraimer, no, you can allow the God to repay his debt, because it's a very distressing experience. asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But yeah, but as soon as his distress dissipates, he's going to be happy and satisfied about relieving that debt. But less than the Rabbi doesn't hold on this point that we look at the long term. Even though he's in distress now, but after a while, he's going to be joyous and happy about it. And that's a concern. He doesn't hold on that point. We focus just on the current, not on the future. Atanya, Rabbi himself concurs with this concept in a different halach, in a different context regarding Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, one may do certain activities and malachis which are necessary, which are beneficial for the Yom Tov itself. Right? So for instance, a woman who would paste this lime on her face as some sort of hair removal material, says Rabbi, you can't do that unless she anticipates benefiting from that procedure on Chol HaMoed itself. So she can do it on Sunday, even though it's distressing now. It makes it look ugly, but Shinsel benefit from it tomorrow, the next day, which is still within the Yom Tov. So it's Yom Tov for Yom Tov serving Yom Tov, that's okay. But if the benefit only arrive after Yom Tov, you can't do that. You can't distress yourself on Yom Tov for the sake of after Yom Tov, right? She shouldn't put the sit on her face on Chol HaMoed, because it's disgusting for her. It's painful, right? But that's only if the benefit will arrive only after Yom Tov. So you can't sacrifice the Yom Tov for, right? Rabbi himself would agree. If this material can be peeled off and removed on Yom Tov itself, on Chol HaMoed itself, then it's allowed. Shetefalta b'moy, she can apply it on Sunday with the intent of taking it off on Tuesday within Chol HaMoed. Why? Because we look at the sum total. It's a short-term investment for ultimate benefit. Even though she's in distress now, we focus on the future. Smechei lachazman. We look at the satisfaction that will arrive in a couple of days' time within Yom Tov. Apparently, Rabbi himself allows for short-term pain, for long-term gain. So back to Awasugya, how could you allow the guy to repay his debt for a reason that it distresses him, but in a little short while, he's going to be happy about it. Then he's going to thank his, right? Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, you can't prove anything from Chol HaMoed, that's a totally different context, totally different, you know, it works with a different parameter. You see, everything we do on Chol HaMoed requires work and effort. You do shechita, you cook, you bake. It's an effort. It's work, right? It's allowed because of the benefit that it's going to provide in a couple hours' time. So Chol HaMoed works like that. However, when it comes to our sugya, we deserve, if initially it's not something which brings him happiness, that's what we look at. We don't concern ourselves with something that might happen later, with you know. Amar Rachma Yitzchak, Hanach Luchas Moed, set aside the halachas of Chol HaMoed, the kulu, because all the halachas, all the, you know, malachas that we do in Chol HaMoed, Rashi says, Shechita, Tikkun Seuda, preparing a meal, it's all work and effort, Meitzer Achshav, although it's distressing now, so to speak. V'sameach Lachar Zman, you know. Since it ultimately it generates simcha, then it's okay. So that works with that that rule, and that explains the halacha of the sid, but it's unrelated to the halacha of avodah zarah. Rabbi Amar, I'll give you another reason why. Even Rabbi Yehuda who holds that, but Chol HaMoed, we look at the long term. Still, when it comes to repaying a loan, it's different. Rabbi Amar. So this perhaps really connects to the previous teretz, meaning Chol HaMoed works with a different system, but allowing a guy to repay his debt, when it comes to repaying his debt, he'll never be happy. Cost $1 million, he wasn't planning on paying that money to the Yid. He thought, Jew's money, he'll keep it forever. When it comes to repaying a loan to a Yid, he's going to be in perpetual distress. He's never going to come thank his, he's never, no concern there. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah, which doesn't allow any guy to repay any loan, whether it's a documented loan, whether it's an undocumented loan, whether it's a milva bishtar, which he has to pay inevitably, it's documented, or whether it's not, in which case it's a matter of trust, and Either way, you shouldn't allow the goy to repay it to you. It's not going to the Shida Rishon Karcha, the Sanya, because we find that he differentiates between the two types of loans. Some generate simcha, some don't, to the guy. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Aymer. Milve b'shtar, if it's a documented loan, in which case the guy knows, he's going to have to pay that off. So paying it off is really, in effect, a relief for him. Ein nifrei mehin, and therefore you should not allow the guy to repay it. But milve peh, if it's undocumented, and somehow you got the guy to pay it, quickly get a hold of that money. Nifrei mehin, let him pay it. It's like you're salvaging your money from him, which you wouldn't otherwise expect to get back. And Rashi seems to learn that subsequently, the guy is really not going to have any relief like he has by repaying a documented loan, because there he's compelled to pay it, paying it off as a relief. But here, he was sort of hoping never to have to pay up this debt. So getting money out of him just causes him distress and tsar, without any concern of ozel moide lavedisar. Okay, so we discussed the shloish hayamim, whether it's including the actual holiday or not, and we concluded that it's beloy idein, it's an addition to the holiday itself. What is the main concern? Is it allowing him to profit and encouraging which might encourage him to thank his avedisar, or is it more direct a concern that he might take the material that you sell him and use it for Eved Dezara, if an evil seed Mishal? We left it sort of unresolved. But the Eved, Nasa v'Nasan, what happens? Rabbi Yechon says Asur, Rish Lakish says Mutter, and we have a Braisa that supports Rish Lakish. According to all Shitas, on the holiday itself, the Nasa v'Nasan, the business, the profit or whatever would be Asur to use permanently. We have the story of the fellow with the coin and how Rabbi Nasiya dealt with that. And then we discussed the halachas of borrowing from them, borrowing money from them, items from them, or allowing the guy to repay. What's wrong with that? Abaye says it was gzeira. Rabbi says ultimately he feels good and sad. I'm proud about it, and that might lead him to thank his. Then we discussed more in depth the idea of allowing the guy to repay his debt. According to Rabbanan, it's a concern, because although now he's in distress, but later on he'll be satisfied. He just says it's going to be perpetual tsar, there's no concern. There is a third shita, Rishon ben Karcha, which actually is the Psak Halacha we're going to see tomorrow, that the friendship between a milva v'shtar, which case is a concern that might cause him satisfaction for having relieved himself of that documented loan which he ultimately is committed to, versus a milva peh, allowing him to repay a undocumented loan, in which case over there it's kematzel miyadam and it's mutter. All the best to you and hatzlacha rav.